I'll ask you that question. How long? How long has it been since you've done these things? Thank you, folks. Great, great song. If you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to begin with, we're going to have a number of scriptures this morning, so do your best to keep up if you can. To 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, page 1281 in your Scofield Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is where we'll start, but we'll look at our text verse in just a minute. 2 Timothy 4, verse number 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Call your attention to that phrase in that little verse, I have finished my course. This is the last Sunday of 2009. We're about to finish another year that has gone by so very rapidly. I never dreamed at the beginning of this year that before the year would come to an end, I would conduct 13 funerals. How shocked we all were when Dick Spence went into the hospital for a simple test and shortly afterwards went to heaven. Dick finished his earthly course. We didn't know a year ago when we went out caroling and stopped at Clarence and Irene's home and visited with them for a while that this would be the year that Clarence would finish his earthly course. We didn't know that Modesto would finish his earthly course in 2009. None of us knew at our candlelight service last year that as we watched Joanne Welch walk up and take her place in the choir and sing in the candlelight service, that this would be the year she would finish her course. Of the 13 funerals I've conducted, all 13 finished their earthly course. But thank God he spared some. Thank God, even though Dina and Bob and Chris Branstad all had cancer surgeries, the Lord spared their lives, because he's got a lot more for them to do. As we soon enter a new year, I can't help but wonder how many will finish their course this coming year. Might be me. It might be some of you folks. With this thought in mind, I want to talk to you for a few minutes in this last message of 2009 on the subject, finishing well. Let's go to our text verse now over in Hebrews chapter 12. And keep your finger there as we move around at some other verses. That's on page 1303, Hebrews chapter 12. Let's look at verses 1 and 2 again. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. May we bow in prayer together, please. Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings, and we thank you for the good service we've had this morning. And I pray that these next few minutes you'll give me the attention of all of those that are seated here. I pray that you'll bind Satan once again from our minds and from our midst. I pray you might empower me, Holy Spirit, to preach your word. I pray if there's one unsaved in our crowd today that they'll come to know Christ. And you know the many needs that are represented by these folks, and they are many. I pray you'd bless these next few minutes in Jesus' name. Amen. Richard Nixon, Pete Rose, Jimmy Swaggart, O.J. Simpson. What do all of these men have in common? They are all famous, masters of their particular craft. Each one has carved out his place in history. However, not one of these men will be remembered for his athletic ability, charisma, foreign policy, or the ability to balance the national budget. Instead, each one has left an indelible legacy of deceit, immorality, and disgust. And sadly, each one will be remembered negatively by future generations. Why? Because after performing magnificently early in their respective vocations, they did not finish well. I'm a sports nut. And about the only thing we do for entertainment in our family is watch sports, especially on television, when we get a chance. I loved watching Tiger Woods play golf. I could sit by the hour if I had the time and just watch him play golf. He is one of the most popular, richest, well-known men in the entire world. It seems like he had it all. He was envied by scores and scores of people around the world. But he's not going to be remembered for all the matches that he won and the millions that he made. He's going to be remembered because he cheated on his wife and in a fit of rage did harm to his car and himself. I'll never watch Tiger Woods play golf again, if he ever does, except for one way, and that is he repents of his sins and turns to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. He deeply disappointed me and millions of others, and he did not finish well. I can think of many pastors, deacons, and Sunday school teachers and choir members, all once active Christian men and women who are now castaways. The great apostle Paul had that fear of himself. Turn with me, keeping your finger in Hebrews. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 9, page 1220 in your King James Scofield Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, look with me at verse number 27. 1 Corinthians 9, 27. And Paul is speaking, he says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I have prayed from day one, starting the ministry, and now my 37th year in the ministry, that if I ever came close to bringing shame to my Savior, my precious family, my church family, that the Lord would just take me home to heaven before I would ever do anything terrible and not finish well. Oh, how I want to finish well. When I preach my last sermon, teach my last lesson, do my last funeral, I want to finish well." How about you? Are you determined to finish well? Maybe you've never thought about that before. Well, this morning, I want to try to challenge you and encourage all of you to set a goal in your life to finish well. When we look closely at our text here in Hebrews chapter 12, we can clearly understand the why and the how of this important goal in the Christian's life. Why finish well anyway? Go back to Hebrews again and look at verse number 1 again. "Wherefore, seeing that we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Who are these witnesses? Well, first of all, they're all the ones listed in the previous chapter, in chapter 11. All those that we call in the hall of faith. And it also includes all the Old Testament saints that are in glory, all the New Testament saints that have gone into glory, and all of the angels that are in heaven. All of these. So, dear folks, thinking about that great cloud of witnesses, we must finish well every task that God gives to us, no matter what it is, because we are being watched. We are all under surveillance. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, that may be the case of somebody famous like the president, but not little old me. Nobody pays any attention to me. You could not be more wrong. Someone, most likely several someones, are watching you, everything you say and do. If you have children or grandchildren, you are definitely being scrutinized. I'm sure that you've all watched our Stephen as he thinks about at the end of the service and he wants me to put on his coat. I want people to put on my coat. I want to get in people's car and I want to go to people's house. I can remember our grandson Jonathan when he was about the same age as Stephen is now and on up, even including right now. He just never wants me to get out of his sight. He always wants to be by my side. His dad said to him one time, "Are you and Grandpa joined at the hip?" Sometimes I think that we are. Someone said to me as they were watching Jonathan, not letting me get out of his sight, "Grandpa, your grandson is following in your footsteps." And I thought, oh, I hope not. I'm not the best example to follow. I want him to follow my Lord and Savior, who is the best example of all. Keeping your finger in Hebrews, look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, page 1313. 1 Peter chapter 2. And look at me at verse number 21. 1 Peter 2, 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Not this pastor's, not the assistant pastor, not the deacons, not anybody else, but follow in his steps. At work, your co-workers are watching you. Your neighbors are watching you. And when you do not finish well, it impacts all of those who are around you. I want to take a few moments and quickly ponder this message a little bit. How can you finish well? It's not easy, but it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. So how can we finish well? Number one, don't sin. Back to Hebrews again, chapter 12, verse 1. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Allowing sin to entangle you is a surefire way of finishing poorly, if you finish at all. We've all seen the examples of people who were greedy and went into immorality and were dishonest and lust, and all of these things cause them to not finish well. And dear folks, it can happen to any one of us. There but for the grace of God go I. But thanks be unto God, you can have victory over the sins which threaten to undo you. He has promised to forgive us when we sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Keeping your finger there in Hebrews, and go to your right just a few pages to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John 1, page 1321. And look at verse number 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We all have some baggage. We all have some things in the past that might hinder us from doing the Lord's work. But again, God has made us a way that we can walk away from our past and move forward. If you want to finish well, dear folks, you've got to make repentance a part of your daily routine. Now, let me repeat that. It is so important. If you want to finish well, you've got to make repentance a part of your daily routine and make a conscious effort to walk away from sin. One area of sin that troubles so many and causes the downfall of so many people in this life is pride. We need to pray and ask God to give us a humble spirit, a spirit of humility, so pride won't defeat us. It defeats so many people. I want, for the next few minutes, I want us to look at some examples in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, of great men, and they were great, I think, because of their humility. So get ready to look at a number of verses as we look at a number of people here for the next few minutes. The first one that I want to look at is Abraham. I want you to look at his humility. Go back to the book of beginnings to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis, the 18th chapter. Genesis 18, and look with me at verse number 27. Genesis 18 and verse number 27. And Abraham answered and said, Behold, now I have taken up on me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. What? A humble man Abraham was. Let's move on and look at Isaac over to Genesis 22. Isaac was willing to die as an offering to the Lord if that was what God prepared for him and required of him. Genesis 22, look at verses 8 and 9. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place where God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar up on the wood. Now, Isaac was not a little boy at this time. He was probably in his early 20s, big, strong, healthy guy. And his dad was a very, very old man. And he could have said, "Dad, you're not going to use me as a sacrifice. I am not going to do that." He could have done that, but he didn't. He was so humble, he allowed his dad to bound him and lay him on that altar, thinking he was going to lose his life at any time. Let's go on and look at Jacob. Go over to the 32nd chapter of Genesis, Genesis 32. And look with me at verse number 10, Genesis 32 and verse number 10. Notice what Jacob says in verse 10. "I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands." Let's go on and look at Joseph. Go over to the 50th chapter of Genesis, Genesis chapter 50. Joseph was dishonored and sold into slavery by his own brothers. Yet he humbly forgave them and never retained any bitterness or any vengeance in his heart. The 50th chapter of Genesis, verse number 17. "So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespasses of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him." Down in verse 21, "Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Let's go on and look at Moses and his humbleness over just a few pages to your right to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus 3, and look at verse number 11. "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of bondage?" Moses was a very humble man. Let's go on and look at Joshua, way over to the book of Joshua, the 7th chapter, and that'll be on page number 265. 265. When Joshua faced the Lord after being defeated at Ai, that came as a result of the Israel's lack of faith, notice in Joshua 7 and verse number 6. "And Joshua rent or tore his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust up on their heads." Oh, what a humble man was Joshua. Let's go on and look at Gideon. Keep going to the next book of the Bible, to the book of Judges and the 6th chapter. Judges chapter 6, page 294. Judges chapter 6. And look at verse number 15. "And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewithal shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." Let's go on to the right and look at David over to 1 Chronicles, quite a ways over to your right. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and you'll find that on page 488, page 488. 1 Chronicles 29, look at with me at verse number 10, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 10. "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever." In verse 16, "O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own." Let's go on to Hezekiah, the king of Judah. Go over to 2 Chronicles, a little bit to your right, the 33rd chapter. 2 Chronicles 33. That's on page 524 and verse number 12, 2 Chronicles 33 and verse 12. "And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers." Let's move on and look at Job. Continue on to your right to Job chapter 42, page 597. 597, Job chapter 42 and verse number 6. Job 42, verse 6. "Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." Keep going over to your right to Isaiah chapter 6, page 718. Isaiah was so humble of a man, that he cursed himself and cried out in Isaiah chapter 6. Look at verse number 5. "Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." What a humble man he was. Let's go to the New Testament now, and let's look at John the Baptist. Go over to John in the New Testament, John chapter 1, John's Gospel, the first chapter, page 1115 in the New Testament, John the Baptist in the book of John chapter 1, and look with me at verse number 27, John 1, verse 27. He it is whose coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. That's John the Baptist speaking. Go over to the third chapter, and he speaks again in verse number 30, John chapter 3 and verse number 30, John 3 and verse 30. Again, John the Baptist is speaking, and he says, speaking of Christ, he must increase, but I must decrease. Now let me show you what our Lord said about John. Go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, page 1010 in your Scofield Bible. Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 11. Matthew 11, verse 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. You know why John the Baptist was a great man? He was great because of his humility. Let's look at another one in the New Testament. Let's look at Peter. Go over to Luke's Gospel and the fifth chapter, Luke chapter 5, and look at verse number 8. That's on page 1078. 1078, Luke chapter 5, and look at verse number 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And one more, let's go over and look at Paul over in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, and that'll be on page number 1177. Acts chapter 20, and verse number 19. Acts 20, verse 19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind. We have looked at a great number of people in the Bible who were great because of their humility. They were humble people, and they all finished well. Now, what about us? How can we finish well? Well, I've gave you the first reason, and that is, don't let sin control you. We're all going to sin until we get our new bodies, but don't let it be in control over you. Don't sin continually. Secondly, be patient. Go back again to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, the last part of verse, in the middle of verse number 1. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. All of us have been given a specific race to run in this life. The Lord has tailored my race for me, and he's tailored your race for you. And while we are running along, doing our best not to sin, we must also be careful not to get ahead of the Lord, because when we do, we take a great risk. Being patient means being willing to wait on the Lord, and sometimes that's very difficult, but it's something we must do. Through prayer and Bible study, the Lord will set the pace. He'll give you the green light when it's time to move forward and a red light when it is not. And you will find that when you are in the Lord's will, it is impossible not to finish well. If you are in the Lord's very will for your life at this moment, you're probably going to finish well. Then the third thing is, keep your eyes on Jesus. Go back again to Hebrews chapter number 12, and look at verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We have no better example of finishing well than that of our Lord and Savior. He came to this earth as a man, lived a perfect life, and experienced every temptation that anybody will ever experience. And then he died a sinner's death on the cross. The Bible says he became sin for us. And even while dying on the cross, he still was busy at winning the lost. You remember the thief on the other cross? But the grave did not end for him. 3 days and three nights later, Jesus triumphantly defeated death and rose from the dead. Now he sits at the right hand of the Father, preparing the way for us. Furthermore, dear folks, there's really no way to win the race of life in our own strength. If you try it in your own strength, you're going to fail. We need the power that only God, the author and finisher of our faith, can give. So keep your eyes on Jesus, and you'll be able to finish well. Number one, don't let sin control you. Number two, be patient. Number three, keep your eyes on Jesus. And number four, don't let your mind grow weary. Back in Hebrews again, the last part of verse 3. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Discouragement, depression, and defeat are all mental. And with the Lord's help, you can control these powerful hindrances to finish well. Don't let them overcome you and force you to give up. Back to Hebrews 12 again, first part of verse 1 again. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Remember who these are, all the Old Testament saints, New Testament saints that have gone on to glory, all the angels of heaven. You want to know who else is watching us? They became a part of this great cloud of witnesses in this year 2009. Dick Spence finished well and is watching us. Betty Proctor finished well and is watching us. Clarence Vaughn finished well and is watching us. Modesto finished well and is watching us. Joanne Welch finished well and is watching us. I want to finish well, and I believe all of you do also. So why don't we make a decision this morning? Why don't we set a goal this morning that we're going to run our race that we are in with endurance and patience and peace of mind? We're going to do that. And then one day, maybe soon, we'll cross the finish line into victory. Now, possibly some of you, before you finish the race, you got to get in the race. You got to begin the race, and it begins with salvation in Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, God visited this earth as we've just celebrated. He took upon himself human flesh. He kept all of the commandments that we have broken. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He allowed himself to be crucified on that old rugged cross, shed his blood. But 3 days and three nights later after his death, he rose again, ascended back up into heaven, is coming back one of these days soon. So what do you need to do? You need to repent. There's no salvation without repentance. Repentance means I'm sorry I've sinned against a holy God. And then you've got to believe what he did on the cross in his birth and death and resurrection and his coming back again. You've got to believe those things. And then you've got to receive him. But as many as received him, to them and only them gave he the right or the power or the authority to become sons and daughters of God. If you've never received him, what a better Sunday to do it than this last Sunday of 2009. For those of you who are saved and you want to finish well as I want to finish well, it might just start at this altar. It might just be a good place to start and set your goal that you are going to finish well and do your best to do so. Let's bow in prayer together, please. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we've looked at some secular people that didn't finish well. We've looked at a number of people in the Old Testament and the New Testament who did finish well. And I want to finish well, and I just believe everybody in this auditorium wants to finish well. But we know the devil's going to battle us. We know he doesn't want us to finish well. He doesn't want us to be a testimony of those around us. I pray that you'll help us to keep our eyes on Jesus, who is the best example of finishing well. Help us to set some goals today, this last Sunday of 2009, and then help us to work on those goals. I pray you'd bless the invitation. If there's one here unsaved without Christ, I pray that they'll come to him and receive him as Lord and Savior. Bless the invitation as only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.